quickly. In Ephesians chapter 6, we want to notice at verse 18. Ephesians 6:18. Just a jumpy. I'd rather just work a text, but this morning we're going to kind of work a subject. What we're going to title the message is The Benefits of Prayer. The Benefits of Prayer. And what I've got, and you usually never tell how many points you have, but I got 7 benefits of prayer. I tell you something, beloved, we're having a hard time getting people to pray. And I'm going to tell you a little something about prayer. If you pray like you should, it'll make a big difference in the church. If you pray like you should, it'll make a great big difference in your family. From what I understand and from talking to folk, God's people are not praying like they used to. I mean, it used to just go without being said that God's people were people of prayer. Prayer does indeed change things. God brings great blessings through means of prayer. The Scripture says you have not because you ask not. And I'm going to ask you one more time today, and I ask you this a lot. What are you asking God to do? Y'all think that's a fair question? What are you asking God to do? Who are you asking God to save? Who are you asking God to heal? What are you asking God to do? Could it be that we who have the great privilege of prayer don't pray? Could it be that we don't take for granted, or that we take for granted the great benefit of prayer? Could that be that we don't pray like we should? Well, I'm going to give you 7 benefits this morning of prayer, and we'll move kind of quickly. And you write these down and remember these things. Number one, prayer keeps you close. You're just as close to the Lord as your prayer life is. If your prayer life isn't what it is, then your closest to the Lord is drifted. You need to be close to the Master. What's that a key to? It's a key to joy. You know, sometimes people say, I'd be happier if... How would you fill in that blank? I would be happier if what? Well, I can tell you one thing. You'd be happy if you're close to Jesus. I've never seen anybody yet that was close to Jesus and wasn't happy of you. And you are just as close to Jesus as your prayer life is. One of the first signs of drifting whenever you're saved. One of the first signs of drifting. When I'm talking to somebody, for instance, maybe I went and visited somebody that hadn't been to church for a while. And we get to talking. They say, well, I'm just as close to the Lord as I've always been. I say, you are. How much have you been praying? And then they'll just look at you. They don't pray. They don't pray like they should. We need to pray. And pray, we need to pray and ask things. And again, what are you asking God to do? First indication of drifting is prayer. Brother Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Even when it was outlawed and you couldn't pray. Brother Daniel went home and he slung up in his sash. He faced Jerusalem. He got down on his knees and he prayed. He followed Psalms 55:17. He prayed morning, noon, and evening. He prayed. He had 3 prayer times and he met every one of them. All God's people said. He met every one of them. He was a man of prayer. Daniel was a great, he was a great man. He's one of my heroes in the Scripture. When you're talking about Daniel, I love the book of Daniel too. I love to teach through the book of Daniel. Glorious thing. Prayer keeps you close. When I go visit someone that's drifted, maybe they've not been at church for a while or something, and we go see them and go talk to them, one of the first things I ask them, I said, well, how's your prayer life? Guess what? In most cases, now, there's some other cases where it might not be so, but in most cases, what they've stopped doing is praying. What I'm doing today is giving you a call to action to make yourself a prayer warrior. What can you do? What can you do here at the church? Man, you can pray. You can pray. You can pray for sinners. You can pray for our nation. We can pray for our leaders. We can pray for those that are sick. We can pray for those that have drifted. Can you do that? How many have prayed? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. How many have prayed this week for the things that I've just mentioned? You think God's people could make a difference in a nation if they prayed for the nation and prayed for the leaders? Do you think it could really cause something to happen? But I'm telling you, God's people's not praying. I bet if you took the TV time and compared it to the prayer time, oh, it wouldn't be no comparison. I don't think it'd be. The average time people watch that thing, about 5 or 6 hours a day. And the average time God's people pray is about 5 minutes a day. And our nation is reflecting that. Our nation is reflecting that. God moves through the means of prayer. The great men of God's Word were men of prayer. The great men of the past were all men of prayer. When you're talking about God's people, we just mentioned Daniel, for example. But one of the greatest examples of prayer in this book is who? Jesus. Nobody prayed like Jesus. His disciples prayed, but they went to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Because nobody prayed like He did. Man, He'd go up into a mountain coy and He would pray all night long. I mean, I prayed an hour and I'm like, man, that's some got to be some kind of record. No. I mean, He prayed all night long, He would pray. And that's the reason why His disciples knew how to pray. But they went to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Because they couldn't pray like He could. Nobody prayed like the Master. And that's what we need to do. We need to be people that will pray. Well, the first benefits of prayer is it keeps you close. It keeps you close to Him. And you know what the key to joy is again? The key to joy is being close to Jesus. The closer to Jesus, the happier you'll be. If you're born again, the farther you drift away, the more unhappy you'll become. Never seen anybody drift yet that prayed like they should. So prayer keeps you close. That's number one. Number two, prayer keeps you focused. Prayer keeps you focused. You got to keep your focus and your mind on Jesus. Do you guys agree with me this morning? You got to keep your focus and your mind on Jesus. If you don't keep your focus and mind on Jesus, you know what it's going to cause you to do? It's going to cause you to sink. It's going to cause you to drift. I love it when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus come, He had been up on the mountain doing what? Praying. They were in the boat and here He comes across and He's walking on the water. Wouldn't you like to see that? I got a painting of that. I love it. Here comes the Master in the midst of that storm, walking on the water. Well, Simon Peter said, "Lord, if it be You, bid me that I come to You on the water." Now, he had more courage than I would have. I'm afraid of real. I mean, when the storm hits and the water's high where I don't swim well, that would have scared me to death. But I tell you what, he said, "Lord, if it's You, bid me that I come to You on the water." In the book of Matthew chapter 14, you can read about this at home. I'm not going to be able to turn to all the texts, but some of them I will. Matthew 14, 28-33. You know what Jesus said? Come. He requested that He come. Well, Simon Peter got down out of that boat. And he stood on the water. The miracle isn't Jesus standing on the water. The miracle is Simon Peter standing on the water. It was a man. And when he stepped out of the boat, when Jesus said come, he kept his focus on Jesus. Everybody got me? His focus, when he got out of the boat, here's all this storm raging around him and the wind blowing and all these kinds of things. But Simon Peter got out of the boat. And when you're going to walk to somebody, you got to look at him. That's what he's doing. He had his focus on Jesus. And that man, that fisherman, that disciple, for a while, when he kept his focus on Jesus, Brother Larry, he stood on top of that water. Amazing thing. Well, the moment he did what I'd have done, he started looking. He looked at the water, and it looked like a hurricane. And the wind was blowing, and the seas were high, and all these different kinds of things. And Simon Peter took his focus off Jesus. Does anybody know what he did? He sank. Beloved, when you keep your focus, listen here. You get your focus off Jesus, you'll sink. You can be saved, born again, have everlasting life, be redeemed by His blood, all these different kinds of things. But if you get your focus off Jesus, you will sink. All God's people say it. It'll happen. It'll happen. He sank. You know what Jesus did? He reached down and got him. Pulled him up. He said, "Oh, ye little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Put him back in the boat. What'd Simon Peter do? He took his focus off Jesus. If you're not praying, you got your focus off Jesus. And if you get your focus off Jesus, what's going to happen to you? You're going to what? You're going to sink. You're going to sink into despair. You're going to sink into discouragement. You're going to lose your what? You're going to lose your joy. Was he happy when he's sinking? No. He lost his joy, lost his peace, and he was in a full state of panic. Prayer keeps you focused. Prayer keeps you what? Prayer keeps you focused. Keeps your focus on Jesus. You got to do that. God's people got to do that. Benefits of prayer keeps you close. Number two, keeps you focused. It'll keep you from sinking. You can handle a lot more things if you prayed. God is able to give you the strength to handle things that's impossible in and of your own strength. And you can go and you can get strength for that. Have you ever seen God strengthen somebody? It's an amazing thing to behold. Number three, prayer keeps you free. Turn to Psalm 55. Like I said, I'm going to turn to some of them. Psalm 55. Now, if you can't find things fast in your Bible, don't cry. I'm going to read it. You can get a copy of the CD if you'd like and have it. And you can listen to it that way. If you know someone you want to give it to, you can do that. We don't care. We just want it to be used of the Lord. Prayer keeps you free. And by that I mean free from worries and free from cares. You got any worries this morning? You got any cares this morning? Did you come in this congregation today and you was filled with worry and cares over something? Sometimes we all get that way. I'd like to tell you I live a carefree life, but I don't. Hey, beloved, there's a lot of cares that's associated with the ministry too. There's a lot of cares associated with the family too. There's a lot of cares. A lot of cares. Well, prayer keeps you what? Keeps you free. And by free, I mean free from worry and free from cares. Psalms 55, notice what it says, verse 22. Psalms 55 and verse 22 says, cast your burden. Cast your what? What's a burden? It's a weight. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast your what? Your burden. Can I ask you a question this morning? What's your burden? What is your care? Scripture says in 1 Peter 5, casting all care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, you can carry care. You can carry care, or you can take that care off and give it to Him. If you don't mind, I'm going to use my illustration that I like so well. I used to work with my father-in-law. He was a carpenter. I was a back, is all I was. And we've all, at one time, the church, we would lift different people's houses in the church. I remember we did that before we all got old. But we did that too. And I could nail pretty good. I couldn't have dug. But anyhow, I have a good strong back. And so they made me carry the shingles. They loved their pastor so much, I was the shingle man. And when you're a shingle man, you know, you carry 60 bundles. I mean, or however, it depends on the size of the house, and up the old pastor went right there. Well, what they did eventually is they, the loving brothers that we have, is they put me a roof man up there. Man, if you're going to carry shingles, you need a what? You need a roof man. You got a roof man. See, the most dangerous part is when you get to the top of that ladder and put that foot on the roof. And you get that, you know. That's the way it is. So, well, he put me a roof man, and I'd get up to that top ladder. Oh, he'd bend down, Larry, and he'd get that. Oh, it was great. And I'd back down the ladder, I'd go. I didn't almost fall or anything then. I could stay right on it. Been kind of goofy of me to go to the top of the ladder and the roof man be there and not give the burden to the roof man. Wouldn't it? I mean, if you was my roof man and I went all the way up to the top of the ladder and I had that shingle on there and I go, no, I ain't going to give it to you. You say, well, he's goofy. And I would have been. You know what I needed to do when I got to the top with that burden? I needed to take that burden and roll it on my roof man. Listen, if you're here today and you're born again, you've got the greatest roof man that ever walked this planet, and that's the Lord Jesus. Why don't you roll that bundle on the roof man? If you come into this congregation burdened down with something, everybody's always burdened down with something. You roll that thing on your roof man. He can handle it. You can carry it and it'll make you sick over a period of time. It'll suck all the joy right out of you. And it'll suck all the service right out of you too. Roll that thing on the roof man. Oh, God's people saying, prayer keep you free. I tell you, get rid of those burdens and cares. Man, I get loaded down. Do you ever get loaded down? I get that way. I get to worrying over people and worrying over this person and that person. And beloved, worry's a sin. You know how I deal with it, Coy? I go take me a good long walk with the Lord is what I do. Take a good long walk and then I take my prayer list and hey, you need to turn your care list into a prayer list. That'll change things. Prayer keeps you close. Prayer keeps you focused. Prayer keeps you what else? Keeps you free. Free. Or you can carry it if you'd like, but you don't have to. Roll that on your roof, man. Number four, prayer keeps you happy. Prayer keeps you happy. I think a good testimony of God's people is that they'd be happy. Scripture says, happy is the people who are in such a state. Yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Let me say it one more time. Happy is the people who is in such a state. Yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. I think the happiest people on earth ought to be God's people. We've got a glorious future ahead. We've got someone to take our cares to. He's our provider. What more do you want? Nobody like our Lord. Prayer makes you what? Makes you happy. There's joy in a faithful prayer life. It'll give you joy. I've went out that old hollow over here where I pray at heavy, and I've come out a whole lot lighter and happier. I unload those things. Prayer keeps you happy. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 says, in everything give what? In everything give thanks. Now, it didn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks. Part of your prayer life should be thanksgiving. Should be praise. When I open my prayer, I, of course, confess my sins. And I praise Him. I thank Him for what He's done. Sometimes my focus gets low. And I need to get my focus up. And what I do is I take all the things that's bothering me. All the cares, all the problems, all the turmoils, everything that's weighing me down, that's a burden. And I take that burden, like we talked about a little while ago, and I cast it on Him. Giving thanks makes you happy. That's why I said prayer keeps you happy. But you're not going to be happy if you don't give thanks. I imagine, we don't have a meter that does this. If you had a meter that measured how much you complained and a meter that measured how much you praised, I wonder how high your meter would go and which one would be the highest. Man, if all you do is quarrel and complain and don't rejoice in the Lord, you're never going to be happy. If you're born again, you have all kinds of reasons to praise. You can always pick reasons to complain, but when you're born again, you have eternal reasons to praise. Why don't you try thanking Him all the time? Scripture even says, in everything give thanks. Even when you go through hard times, you know, and I try to do praising. Even in hard times, I praise Him. Because there's always a reason to praise. Because I still always have a home in the Father's house. I still always have redemption. I still have justification. I still have all these great unchanging spiritual blessings. And I thank Him for them. 1 Corinthians 10:10, talking about this. Hey, you ever studied the Old Testament scriptures? I hope you do. The book of Exodus, and read about the children of Israel in the wilderness. Oh, they irritate me to death. Now, don't you be too hard on them. They were in a desert. They ate the same food every day for 40 years. And they lived in little booths, little huts, it says at times. And you, and here, hey, if you're 15 late getting the dinner started, son, it's a major crisis for us. Think about it. Well, if your complain meter is higher than your praise meter, you're not going to be happy. You agree? You're just not going to be happy. You need to learn. Prayer keeps you happy. I like to praise Him. I do. I get happy sometimes when I'm praising Him. Nobody there but me and the Lord. And well, I start talking and I'm thanking for saving this old wretch like me. I'm thanking for justifying me. I'm thanking for cleansing me. I'm thanking for bringing me from where I was at to now, a child of God. I begin to praise Him. Hey, if you praised more and complained less, you'd be a better testimony to others, and it would make you what? Happy. Make you happy. You're happy because you don't praise Him. Beloved, is there a reason to praise our God today? Is there a reason to praise Him? Oh, there always is. Choose those reasons and praise Him. Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, "Neither murmur ye as they murmured." Neither what? Murmur ye. Do we murmur? Oh, my. Poor old people. I've heard different people that are like waitresses and things. And you know who they claim the worst crowd is? The Sunday morning crowd. They get out of church and they're 15 minutes later than normal getting their dinner, and oh, they blow a gasket, these poor little old girls out there trying to serve them. Or they mess something up. Isn't that a wonderful example? They hate the Sunday morning crowd. Because they're not carrying it outside the church doors, I guess. No patience. And the moment that dinner is at least a little bit late, or maybe even the wrong thing, they begin to murmur and complain. Oh, how awful this is. Well, you ever seen a happy murmurer? You ever seen a happy complainer? Prayer keeps you what? Happy. If you pray like you should, it'll make you happy. It's how you cast your care, all of this. Number five. Prayer gives you strength. Prayer gives you strength. Now, you don't think God can strengthen you to handle anything? I'm asking, do you think God can strengthen you to handle anything? I think so. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Y'all believe it or not? I believe it. I can do all things. Something that I can't handle in and of myself. Something that I can't do in and of myself. Something I can't go through in and of myself. I can do it with God's strength. And I can get that strength through the means of prayer. I have an inexhaustible supply of strength from my God. And we can avail ourselves of it if we would. I can handle it. Hebrews 4:16, he says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain strength and help in time of need." If you don't mind, if you've ever been strengthened by God through prayer, would you bear witness today by raising your right hand? Just let me read them up there real high. You've been strengthened by prayer, raise your right hand. You can do that all the time if you'd like. You take it to Him. Oh, sometimes I go burdened, heavy with a weight, and God strengthens my spirit. God can give you that strength. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Many people think it's his eyesight, but it was a thorn. It's something he wanted rid of, and it hurt. And you know, he asked the Lord three times to take that away. Three times. He wanted whatever the thorn was, he wanted it taken away. You know what God did? He said, nope, you need it, basically. And you need this because of the abundance of your revelation that God has given you. This, I've given you this thorn to keep you humble. Remember that? So instead of taking the thorn away, you know what God said He's going to do? He said, I'm going to give you grace. That means I'm going to give you strength to be able to handle it. I'm going to use Pop again as an example if y'all don't care. How many years you've had that, Pop? How many years you had dialysis? 7 years. 7 years he's had dialysis. He's the happiest man I've ever met in my life all the way down to the day. Y'all bear witness to that? He's happy. Hard to tell what he'll say. You know how he carries on. He's happy. He has dialysis three times a week for 7 years. He's had that for 7 years. Never misses a church service. Always here. And you know what Pop is? He's happy. You ever hear Pop complain? The only time he complains is if I don't buy. Don't complain. I mean, I tell you, it's a great blessing. It is. He could, but you know who? He doesn't have this strength in himself. It's what I want. That's why I said this. God strengthened him. He gave him the ability to handle it. And for every burden that God places on His people, God will give you the grace to be able to hold up. Paul had a thorn. He needed the thorn to keep him humble. But instead of taking the thorn away, Rick, he gave him the grace to hold up under. Have you ever seen anybody be able to hold up under trial? Steve Ruby's another one. Cancer. Had cancer horribly when he came to church here. Worked with me at Hex. I didn't know who he was when he first come. He was the happiest sick man that I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anybody have cancer. He said, well, going to chemo today, going to eat her up today, buddy. I'm going to be good. I'll be good once I get this done. And he did that for I don't know how many years. And he told me this statement. He said, Jeff, I know God could heal me, but God has chosen not to. But instead, God has chosen to give me grace. And he said, Jeff, I'm happy. That's what he told me. I'm happy. And he said, I think it's a greater miracle than if God healed me. Oh, God's people said, God can give you the strength to handle things. And he does it through the means of prayer. Number six, prayer makes you fruitful. Prayer makes you fruitful. John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. They needed to keep contact. In order to produce fruit, they needed to keep contact with the vine. I've seen that. Debbie has her flowers, and I'm not the best weed eater in the world when it comes to flowers. It's easier to chop the flower down as the weed eater. Yeah. One day, she said, now, you watch those flowers out there. Weed eater. There fell a branch off of it. So I did what any normal man would do. I hid it in the bushes. Yeah, I did. I hid it in the bushes. I don't know if a stupid thing fell out or what, but she saw it. She said, Jim, did you knock that branch off that? And I said, what branch? Yeah. But you know what? You know how she found that branch, Dean? That thing died. And it withered up. It withered up, Larry, and then it showed out like a big something red or something. She saw it then. It took a few days for it to, but it did. It just kind of turned different colors, and she saw it. You say, well, Jeff, why are you using such a goofy illustration? Because when you break contact with the vine, you dry up. When you break contact with the vine, who is the Lord Jesus, you'll dry up. You need to abide in the vine. You need to stay close to Jesus. You need to be in your. You need to pray to Him every day, several times a day, and keep contact with Him, all God's people. If you don't do that, you will dry up. And you'll lose your joy. I've seen a lot of people do it. Last of all, number 7. Can you believe I did 7 points this week? I didn't read all the text. Prayer makes you bold. We ain't bold enough. We're not bold like the disciples were. And they weren't bold in and of themselves. Now I'm going to turn you this one verse since I know I've got time. Let's go to Acts 4. I wanted to get this in one shot. Acts chapter 4. They threatened the apostles in Acts chapter 4. They were being persecuted. And they, you know what they did? They went and prayed. It says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that we may, that with all boldness that we may speak the word, by stretching forth thine hands to heal, and thy signs and wonders may be done in the name of the holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. I ain't never had a prayer meeting like that, but I'd like to have one before I die, wouldn't you? I mean, Larry, when they prayed, the whole place shook. I mean, it was a moving prayer. You talk about a moving prayer. This was something that moved them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word with boldness. They didn't mind standing up before a multitude. They were a bunch of Galilean fishermen. Standing up before multitudes of people preaching about Jesus. Teaching about Jesus. Where did they get that boldness at? That come through prayer. It come through prayer. Prayer makes you bold. We don't say, I don't know if it's ever happened to you. Sometimes I've went away from things and I say, I wish I was more bold that day. I should have said something there. Have you ever done it? I should have said something. Right there was the opportunity and I didn't have enough guts to say anything. I've done it. And you've done it. And then after I've done it, I felt awful over it. We need to pray for what? Boldness. Prayer will make you what? Bold. I pray for a door of utterance every day of my life. The Lord would give me an opportunity to share Jesus with someone. If you don't pray for it, you're not looking for it either. We got the greatest blessing, and that's salvation. We want to share that with other people. All God's people say. All right, beloved. This was the message titled, "The Benefits of Prayer." It keeps you close, keeps you focused, keeps you free, keeps you happy, gives you strength, makes you fruitful, and makes you what else? Makes you bold. All God's people say, let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. Let's all stand.